All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. You are good in every way, and your mercies are new every morning. Lord, I pray that you would just still our hearts even now, that in this time we would experience your grace, your presence, your joy, and your delight. We just give this all to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, y'all, what I'm going to do this morning for the next few minutes, a number of things. One, we're going to go over the membership covenant. Does everyone have one of these? Okay. If you don't, please make sure you can get one. I'm going to read through it. Now, if you see the Lord calling you to come and join St. Andrew's, you do that by signing this, okay? You can sign it today. You don't have to sign it today. You can take it and pray through it and just see if you know, you really sense the Lord leading you to become a part of this body. But this is an invitation for that. If you choose not to, still come and worship with us, okay? No pressure. But I'm going to go through this. Secondly, I'm going to talk about giving and what that looks like here. We're going to talk about our leadership structure. How are we governed as a church? What does that look like at St. Andrew's? And then I'm going to wrap it up by talking about confirmation. Those of you who want to take this next step to be confirmed when the bishop comes in November, okay? So those are the things we're going to look at. Let me start with this, okay? I'm not going to read through all of it necessarily, but there are a few things I do want to highlight because this is one of those things that language is important, and we're very intentional as to why we say things certain ways, okay? So I'm going to read the first paragraph. Begins by saying, by the grace of God, I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I've read and I support St. Andrew's mission and values, and I believe I've been led by God to join this church family. Therefore, relying upon the strength given by God's Holy Spirit, I make the following commitments to God and my church family. And each of these sections begins with these words, with God's help. Okay? What I want you all to see first and foremost, it's all by the grace of God, right? It's not about what we have to try to do or trying to do things to make us right and acceptable at this church or before the Lord. But we always come under that foundation that it's all by God's grace. And each of these commitments that we're asking that you would not just affirm, but seek to live into, begins with the phrase, with God's help. Again, they're intertwined, right? God's grace and his help. We can't do these things on our own. I can't fulfill these commitments on my own, right? I'm going to fail them all the time. But as I submit to the Lord, right, he gives me strength to have the desire to do it, right? The desire's got to be there before I do it. And then the will to do it. So that's very, very important. Everything that we do, friends, not just here at St. Andrew's, but really the whole of our life, is all by God's grace and with his help. We are dependent on him in every way, and it's a good reminder for us. So the first statement that we make is, with God's help, I will share in the life of my church, okay? And the first statement there is by faithfully attending regular services. Why do you think that's important? Anybody? Y'all talk. Tell me. Why do you think that's important?
So just to be, we're commanded to in Scripture to mm-hmm. gather together and to not stop that practice.
Yeah.
And we need reminders.
Yes. Yeah. Good. Ryan, thanks for reminding us of Scripture.
We need it.
We need it. David, thank you. We do. Yeah, we need it.
And we're told not to forsake the assembling together of the saints.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And this is also our kind of common shared experience that we have weekly. And so if you're not part of that, it's hard to stay connected, not just with people, but with the spirit of what's happening.
Yeah, yeah. It breaks into our individualistic mindset, you know, that it's just about me going to church, and if I'm not there, it doesn't matter. Well, yeah, it does. Like, it really does. And one of the things that you'll see in here is that as part of the body, right, as a follower of Jesus, we're part of the body, you have gifts that you bring to this body every time you walk through these doors. And if you're not here, now this may not make any sense, but I think it's a reality. If you're not here, we're missing out. The body is missing out from the gifts that you bring. So that's a big deal. I used to have a friend say, who's a pastor, he'd say, unless you're providentially hindered, be at church every Sunday. Now, some people could take that in a very legalistic way and say, well, you're just, you know, you're putting a law on me, right? You're putting these demands on me. Well, no, right? You've already heard Ryan mention Scripture calls us to that, right? We need that. And so I just want to say that. Unless you're providentially hindered, come. We need to soak in the mercy and grace of the gospel often, right? And we need to be encouraged. We need to be convicted, right? Because it's not just all about, oh, you're just going to make me feel really good. No, there's times we come in and we're just flat out convicted. And that's a good thing, right? That's a good thing. So I love that that's first and foremost, that with God's help, I'll share in the life of my church by faithfully attending regular services, joining in the regular fellowship of the church, growing in faith, growing in regular personal prayer and scripture reading. Another way that Jesus speaks of that in John 15 is what? Abiding in Christ, right? It's that desperate need that we have to be connected to the vine. We need to be abiding. Otherwise, if that life source is out, we're going to dry up. And so we want to make sure at St. Andrew's that we are continually providing opportunities and helping this body be more and more connected to the vine. More and more, you know, what does it look like to continue to grow in that whole idea of abiding in Christ, right? And one of the things I love to do, one of the things Dustin loves to do, and I think Ryan as well, is to come alongside folks, because I talk to a lot of people who go, I don't even know where to begin when I open this up. You know, I can read it, and I'll read it, okay, and then I go on, but it makes no impact in my day. It doesn't, you know, it's just kind of there, I've done it. We love to walk alongside folks as part of discipleship and helping people not just fall in love with this word, but see how this word becomes a part of the very being. And when we see that it is beginning to inform everything that you and I do, you know, again, like I said, if you were in the service this morning, the first service, it's how we connect our Sunday faith to Monday through Saturday, right? And how this is crucial as we do. So that's all part of this first commitment of sharing in the life of the church. I'm going to get to generous giving in a minute. The second one is, with God's help, I will protect the peace and unity of my church. Now that's big. With God's help, I will protect the peace and unity of my church. So I want to ask this question, and I always ask it. What will that require of you? Think about that. You can talk if you want to.
To not be divisive for ourselves.
Yeah, yeah.
To be a calming presence.
To be a calming presence, yeah. To not be divisive, yeah.
I think it is acceptance of people just where they are.
Yeah, meeting people where they are. Yeah.
Requires us to imitate God through gracious, kind, loving forgiveness.
Yes, yes. Did y'all hear that? I want David to say that again.
It requires us to imitate God through the gracious, kind, tender-hearted, loving forgiveness of one another.
Yeah, yeah. We love because why? He first loved us. We forgive because why? We've been forgiven. Yeah, someone else said something. I'm sorry. Yeah, Ryan.
It kind of presupposes that you'll be engaged enough to practice this stuff. So
yes.
Yeah,
yeah, I like that a lot. They'll be engaged enough. And this is challenging, right? We all have families to varying degrees, right? You know what happens at Christmas or Thanksgiving when families get together. It's not always laughter and fun and everything, right? People get on each other's nerves at times, right? We kind of rub each other the wrong way at times. We're going to do that here. You know, I'm going to do that with you. You're going to do that with me. We're going to do that with each other. But we see that we're a family. We're the body of Christ. And so we don't just rub and then walk away or put up divisions and barriers. We enter into difficult stuff, right? To experience the forgiveness and the peace that Jesus brought us. Right? It's really easy to want to run away. But part of it is living at peace with each other is staying and engaging. One of the things, as we have been people whom Jesus has made peace with, we also ought to be people who make peace with one another. And sometimes that's really, really hard. I know that. But when we seek out of humility to live out of this gospel truth, we can do that and we can see God restore fractured relationships. So anyway, that's a very important thing. That Jesus longs for his church to be lived out of peace. There are enough divisions in this world. There are enough divisions in the country. There are enough divisions in churches. And we don't want that. But see how we can be a people who live at peace with one another. I think it's very, very important. I've already mentioned that the whole idea of pursuing reconciliation. That's crucial. One of the ways that we can guard conflict and so forth is this other one, refusing to gossip. You know, that's we don't think about that, but boy, it starts as a little spark, and it can just grow into this incredible bonfire, right? The littlest gossip can do that. We can do it in our prayers, you know all the ways that we can do it. But it's guarding our hearts, and I say these things, y'all, because just they're good reminders for us, right? And this is who we long to be. As a church with each other. So that's a real important one, just to protect the peace and unity of Christ's church. The third one is this: with God's help, I'll serve the ministry of my church. You'll be a part of it. You'll find where, God, how have you gifted me, right? Because as members of Christ, we're given his Holy Spirit, and so we all have various spiritual gifts. They all differ in this room. There'll be some that are similar, but we have different ones, and for the ministries of this church to go, for people to be built up and encouraged, we need to be a part of this body and serving and using our gifts, right? It's not just about the clergy doing it or staff, right? We want to push that out to the body. And so I want to challenge you. You know, if you come to say, I want to be a part of this church, find a way where you can get plugged in. Ask us. I think at the end of the class, there's a class or two where we have each ministry in the church, and there are quite a few, come in, and you can hear, right, about all these different areas that there may be one or two that you're like, wow, that's interesting. I never thought about that. What's that?
Next week.
Next week. Great. And so come in here, and I would even encourage you, pray beforehand. Just be open to what the Lord might want to show you. It may be something that you never thought of, but something he puts on your heart. And if you don't, if there's not anything, say, maybe I'm just going to jump into something and see, right? But that's a part of being connected to this body. It's serving and using the gifts that God has given you. And then the last one is this. The last commitment is, with God's help, I will support the mission of my church. Okay? That means not just supporting a missionary. Doesn't mean just writing a check. We can all do that, you know, to various degrees. But it's saying that you know, you've heard us use this phrase that as we're followers of Jesus, we are disciples making disciples. And I got to tell you, that's not an option. What it means to follow Jesus is that we are making disciples. And that means that we're looking and praying to be in relationships with those who aren't believers, right? How can we enter into their world, meet them where they are? Kimberly, my wife, used to be on staff with Young Life, and I love the phrase. This is an old Young Life phrase. You know, win the right to be heard. You know, meet people where they are, win the right to be heard, enter into a relationship with them, and see what God does, right? So it's a challenge for us to begin to think, I mean, I didn't have any people who weren't believers in my life. Well, one of the things that I would say is pray. God answers prayer. And then go with open eyes. But anyway, so that's a part of what it looks like. And then being warm and welcoming to those who come into these doors. That's what it looks like to come and say, I want to be a part of this church, so that we come with a good solid foundation. So if that's where you are and that's what you'd like to do kind of as the next step, I'd encourage you, fill that out, sign it. You can give it to Becca at the end or Kathy next week or the next week or the next week, or if it's in 6 months that you say, I just needed to be here longer before I make a commitment, then bring it and hand it to her in 6 months, right? So anyway, that's what it looks like to come and join and be a part of St. Andrew's. Any questions on that? No? Okay. It's pretty self-explanatory. All right. If you've got a Bible, I want to encourage you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8. What I want to do is I want to look at for a few minutes this whole idea of sacrificial giving. And, you know, a lot of churches feel weird when they talk about money and stuff. I don't want us to feel weird here because Jesus talks a lot about it. And it is a good thing. And it is a freeing thing when we can understand the financial resources that God has given us to steward. When we can understand them in their proper perspective, you know. So we're not ashamed to mention it or to talk about it or wrestle with people, you know, just to wrestle through where different folks are on this. But this is an important practice of what it looks like to follow Jesus with a real surrendered heart, because this can be one of those things that we hold on so tightly to, right? Or when the talk on money comes, you can feel so guilty. That's not the way our Savior wants us to think about it. He wants us to experience the freedom of this incredible truth and gift that He's given us. So anyway, I'm going to read this. It's pretty lengthy. I'm going to read Deuteronomy 8, 1 through 18. And you may go, well, how does this talk about money? You'll see, okay? So I'm going to first read verses 1 through 10. I'm going to ask you all a question, okay? If you've got a Bible, you can follow along. Deuteronomy 8. The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you, and he let you hunger, and he fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs, flowing out in valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, and in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. You shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. What stands out as you hear those first 10 verses? What are some things that stand out to you?
Gives.
He gives. Yes. Yeah. He gives. He's generous.
And he also wants you to follow his commandments.
Yep.
That's the very first verse.
Yeah. Yeah. Calls us to follow his ways. Yep. Yep. What else stands out?
He was showing that he sustained them in trouble in the past, and that he also promises to take care of them and really go over the top and bless them in the future.
Did you hear that? That's who our God is. That's why I wanted you to hear this. He sustains us. Their shoes didn't wear out, right? He gave them manna from heaven. They were able to eat. Right? They were able to make it. It was tough. It wasn't easy. Life here's tough at times. It's not always easy. But what do we see about our God? He doesn't give up on his people. And he always provides. Friends, that's a huge thing. And the Lord doesn't just provide, he satisfies us with good things. Okay, look, where was he? What was he providing for them in this land? What do you see? Yeah, bread.
Back in the olden days when I was a kid, they used to call it, you got any dough?
Yeah. We're not going to date you. Yeah.
He's testing us. He tested them with the bread. And then I find it's fascinating to me that in 8:3, that's the verse that Jesus quotes with the devil.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of interesting to me.
Yeah.
That verse is a paradox.
Yeah.
He gives a beautiful land, just not just abounding.
Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. So I wanted you to get a picture of who our God is, right? As we think about what we do with our resources. Now, let me keep reading, okay? My page turned. Okay, verse 11. Take care. Now, here's the warning. Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do good, to do you good in the end. Now here's this. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is this day. Wow. Wow. This is huge, because what do you see about what do you see about the human nature in these latter verses?
We forget.
Pride enters in.
Pride. Yeah.
We own gifts like they're our own skill set.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. We take the good things that God has given and we make them more ours than they should be, right? God's given us good gifts, and he wants us to enjoy them. He wants us to enjoy them. But yet when we think that they're ours, when we think, I'm the one who did it, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine, what happens? We hold tightly. And Jesus says, no, who gave it? So I want you to see that as the foundation, in the sense, when we think about sacrificial giving, our tendency is to hold on, to hoard, to have more, to go, it's mine, look what I did. And we can forget, it's a gift. You see, we've said it in the past number of weeks, this is God's creation. We don't own it. This is not our home, right? We're passing through. And so, we're stewards of what God has given us. And the more that we see ourselves as stewards, friend, there's a freedom. But there's also a responsibility to take care of what God has entrusted to us. Dietrich Bonhoeffer once said, earthly gifts are to be used, not collected. And I think that's very true. It's not bad if you've got beautiful things in your home. I'm not trying to put a guilt on anybody on that. We've got some beautiful things in our home. Those aren't bad. But don't hold too tightly to them, right? And so it makes a difference how we think about the financial resources that God has called us to steward. And I want you all to think about that, right? And what he's called us to. I'm not going to get into the whole idea of tithing and all that right now. We're going to look at that next week in this stewardship sermon. But here's what I want you to think. So often we think, what's the minimum, right? What's the minimum? In the New Testament, Jesus never gives a minimum. I don't know if you've ever noticed that. And that's because the gospel blows the top off of anything, right? The gospel is so glorious that when we live out of the generosity of our God, we don't have to ask that question, okay, now what's the minimum? You know, is really 10% okay, off the top of the net, or, you know. No, it becomes, God, you have so loved me, and out of that love spring generosity, right? And so I just leave that with you to allow the Lord to work in any way he so wants to. It's an important part of what it looks like to follow Jesus, that we surrender that very sensitive part of our lives, right, as the Lord wants it all. So if you're in the place of wrestling with that, wrestle with it, okay? I'm not going to tell you what to do. Wrestle with it, though, and let Jesus show you what he wants you to do, okay? One of the ways that this gets real at St. Andrew's, and this may be foreign to a number of you, and if it is, that's okay, pledging. Who's ever been in a part of a church where you pledge? Do you know what pledging is? Yeah, very few. So pledging is saying, you know, we have these commitment cards that you say, in this next year, I'm going to pledge, you know, my intent is to give X amount in whatever way, you know, and so forth. That's foreign to a lot of folks, and I understand that. But it's one of those practices that we do here at St. Andrews, and we have for the last 20 years. You've heard Dustin talk a fair amount about liturgical practices in here, right? Things that help us grow as disciples. Pledging is one of those ways where we come and we make a commitment where we seek to live into, right? It's not one of those things that if you do this, you are bound come hell or high water, you know? It is not a thing that all of a sudden, if your financial means change in a year, that you all of a sudden are heaped with this guilt of how am I going to do this? That's not what this is about. One, it's about to say, okay, God, I'm gonna pledge this, and I know each month I'm intending to give this, you know? And I'll share a little story. When I first started doing this out of college, when I first became a Christian and got my first job, I was making some pretty good money, and I liked that coming in. And then all of a sudden, I was kind of confronted with the whole idea of giving. And I looked at, you know, and then I was on that kind of 10% principle for a while. And then I thought, oh my gosh, 10%? I go, that could be a nice trip I could be taking, you know, and things like that. And then I had to kind of reorient my thoughts all around as God did this work, and it didn't happen overnight. But he began to reorient my thoughts around, it's his, and what does that look like? And this has actually helped me to go, there's times I'm like, ooh, that'd be nice to go over here and get this. Nope, that's the Lord's, right? So that's one of the things that pledging helps do, right? Kind of helps us in our walk as a disciple to say, Lord, I want to be committed to this. Now, hear me say this, okay? This is something that we'll say at St. Andrew's every now and then. This is one of those practices that you don't have to do. It helps us budget, I will tell you that. It helps us plan our budget for the new year because we place our budget off of pledges and perceived tithes loose plate offerings, okay? But I will say this, and Philip Jones used to say this, all can, some will, none must. Does that take pressure off? All can fill out one of these. Okay, all can, some will, not everyone in here will, but none must. Does that make sense? But we do ask that you would go before the Lord on the whole idea of giving and giving back sacrificially. Does that make sense? Any questions on that? I know for some that's a pretty new...
This is for all giving, not just...
No, thank you. Yeah.
Special funds.
Yeah, Ryan, thanks. So this is for our budget. This is for our church budget, okay? There are other opportunities where people give sporadically or above and beyond, and Scripture shows us that as well. And so we have a benevolence fund that's not funded out of this, but for people in our congregation who find themselves in a difficult place financially, we've got a fund that people just give to throughout the year to help them pay their rent or pay a medical bill or whatever it might be, okay? And so one is, that's there for those who are members of this church. So if you ever find yourself in that kind of place, it's all confidential. You just call me, Dustin, or Ryan, and we'll walk with you through that. And it's a real blessing. But if you'd like to give above and beyond what you would pledge, people do that throughout the year. So that's one of those ways. Another one, Ryan, as y'all saw with Bishop Sospeter's home, you know, people gave above and beyond for that out of generosity. And that was huge, y'all. We over doubled what we had intended to give. And so, you'll hear more about that next week. But anyway, so that's what that looks like here at St. Andrew's, okay? All right, let me shift. I know we're a little strapped on time. Let me hit our governance structure so that you can know, like, is this just a loose cannon? Can they go do anything they want? Or are there guidelines? Is there accountability here at St. Andrew's, right? There are a number of different types of governance structures on how a church is governed in Scripture. Presbyterian, I'm not going to get into these just for time, but a Presbyterian form of government, it's a church led by elders, and so it's the group of elders that make all the decisions that are going on in the church, okay? Another one is congregational, that the congregation comes, things are brought to the congregation, they vote, and so forth. Our polity, our governance structure is an Episcopal structure, okay? We're an Anglican church, but the governance model is Episcopal. And what that means is a hierarchy, right? There, we have bishops. So let me kind of paint what this picture looks like for you. First, kind of, Christ is the head of the church. So in all, we submit to the Lord Jesus Christ, first and foremost, okay? And then we have bishops who oversee the churches. And these bishops help support, encourage, help us stay on track doctrinally, right? I can. If I just come spurt some heresy on a Sunday morning, right? And I say, you know, I know God's word said this then, but times have changed, haven't they? And so we don't really see that that's relevant anymore, and so we believe this now, okay? If I do that, I can guarantee you I'm going to get a phone call within an hour from Bishop Philip Jones because someone will have called him. And, you know, so I've got constraints, and thankfully I do, from our bishops who guide us in line with, you know, under the authority of Scripture, okay? And they help out in a number of other ways. So you've got Christ the head, you bishops, then the priests. That would be me, Dustin, and Ryan. And so that's the structure there, okay? And there's accountability all throughout. As part of my commitment to the Anglican mission, which is what we're a part of, the AMIA here, St. Andrews, every year the clergy sign documents reaffirming our submission to the full authority of Scripture and then the 39 Articles of Religion. So we are every year reaffirming those things. That's our standard, right? And so there's accountability there for us to keep us on track with the teaching and preaching of God's word throughout this church, okay? We also have what we call as a leadership team here at St. Andrews, and it's made up currently of 6 men and women who've been, in a sense, brought up from the church body. They're members of the congregation, and they do 3 specific things, okay? They're overseers of the resources, so they help oversee the financial stewardship of this church, okay? And they do a phenomenal job as they set the budget, as they, every month we look at the budget, how are we doing, are we on track, you know, keeping us in, you know, spending well what God's, you know, stewarding well the resources the Lord has given us. Second thing they do, they're guardians of our values. We look back often in our leadership team meetings, and we meet twice a month, over the values of St. Andrews. How are we living into those, right? Are there ones we're neglecting? Are there ones we need to live more fully into? And so they're helping us, helping me lead in that way as well. And the third thing that they do is they're caregivers to the congregation. So those are the 3 main things our leadership team does. Really what they do is they help guide me, a great sounding board for me, as I lead and share with them what I sense the Lord leading us to at St. Andrews and helping things come together, okay? So that's the governance structure. Any questions on that? I kind of went through that really fast, but the main thing I really want you all to see is I'm not the head of this church. The Lord is. We've got bishops over us. There's a lot of accountability all throughout because we long to make sure that we are on that straight and narrow road of being faithful to the Lord and His mission and His word.
2 questions, and I could be answered later. But
yeah.
One was, how do the bishops maintain accountability with each other?
Yep.
And is there anyone over for that, or does that work? And then the 39 Articles of Religion, what is that?
Okay, yep. We can have an offline one on that one. That's a bigger one. It's part of our Anglican, so... have you ever heard of the Westminster Confession of Faith? Just like that, but for the Anglican Church. So it takes the doctrines, the foundational truths of Scripture that we stand on, and it's put them in these 39 articles. That's the real short, abbreviated version of my description. But I can tell you more about that offline. But I will answer the one on the bishops. What we have is, in the Anglican Mission, what's called the College of Consultors. And these are our African bishops. Overseas. And I don't remember how many, you may know, 7, 5? 5, yeah, 5 of them. And this College of Consultors helps guide and oversee the things that our bishops here are doing. So there's an accountability there. And there's accountability among our bishops as well. So there are mechanisms set up to help make sure that we are all staying in line with the sufficiency of Scripture, and they sign those. They sign those documents as well.
There's a global, like a collection of bishops.
That... Yes, yeah. For us in the Anglican Mission, a global conglomeration of a number of bishops, and they meet once a year. Yeah, they meet once a year.
An Anglican Mission and Anglican Church are the same thing.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, I can tell you more on that. That's a there's a history there that's very how do I say it? What do I say? Complicated is a good word. A complicated history, but a good history. But we are part of the Anglican Mission in America. You can look it up online. AMIA.
The AMIA.
Yeah. Okay. Good. We can talk more on that one. All right. I've got probably 3 minutes to talk about what confirmation is, and then we'll wrap up. Okay. Save the best for last, but I will say, if you have questions on this, please call me or ask Dustin. But let me tell you what confirmation is. I think about it this way. As followers of Jesus, there are certain signposts along our journey that stand out, right? Certain markers along our journey. One is baptism, right? A significant event in the life of a follower of Jesus. Another one is someone taking their first communion, right? So there's certain markers along the way. I would put confirmation as another one of those markers, of one of those markers that defines the trajectory of our lives going forward. Okay, and so what it is confirmation is it's affirming our commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, it's an affirmation that I am a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm doing this in front of the body that I'm a part of. Right, and again, that's important. That we're saying, I'm coming alongside, I want to be a part of this larger body, I want them to lift me up as I journey with the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Because it's never about just what we do on our own. We need the body together. So in confirmation, you're affirming your faith in Christ, you're affirming your identity in a larger body to say, I'm walking with this group going forward. And it's also a statement of saying, I'm going to resolve to live as a disciple of Jesus Christ. I'm going to resolve to live as a follower of Jesus, okay? And this may be stuff you're already doing, right? But there's something about having the bishop come here to St. Andrew's, and he will come in this service whether you're confirmed or received. And received is if you've already been confirmed before in another Anglican church or a Catholic church or an Episcopal church. And I can speak specifically to that of anyone who has those questions after this. But it's coming, and the bishop comes and he lays hands on you. And that's a biblical act. And laying on of hands, you know what that symbolizes? Anyone know?
The transfer of the Spirit.
Yes, yes. And a setting apart. And that's very important, okay? Because as the bishop comes and lays hands on you, what he's doing is saying you are set apart for this gospel ministry, right? You were set apart for what the Lord has called you to, right? He's marked you, you're his own. He's marked you in baptism, you're his own. But in this act of confirmation, he is setting you apart to live as a follower of Jesus. And what we believe in that is this whole idea that's called the priesthood of believers. It's not just clergy who are set apart. Sometimes we think that's the thing, right? It's just the ministers who are set apart. Well, no, when you think of Scripture, it's the priesthood of believers. All of God's children are set apart for His work, for His glory, right? And so that's a significant thing that takes place, is He lays hands on you, and in a sense, He is setting you apart in a new way, right, to resolve and to live as a follower of Jesus. One of the things He also prays is for a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit to come upon you. You're already filled with the Spirit. But friends, Paul often talks, there's more, right? Where we ask to be filled over and over. And so he'll pray for a fresh filling of his Spirit to come upon you, to give you the resolve, to give you the desire, to give you the strength to continue to walk as a follower of Jesus. Okay? It's a powerful time as you come and the bishop lays hands and prays. And he often prays specific words over people. So it's a symbolic act of us saying, I'm yours, and I'm with this body, but not just with this body, with a larger church worldwide. that I'm making a declaration before this body as I'm resolving to follow the Lord Jesus Christ in an intentional way. Okay? That's a snapshot of confirmation. We've got 1 minute for questions. How about that? Okay. I have no minutes for questions. But you can see me later. I'll be after the service because I got to jump in there. Or in all seriousness, confirmation is not going to happen until November 19th. And so there's a lot of time there, okay? You can ask Dustin, you can ask Kathy, you can catch me in the weeks ahead and say, okay, Robert, give me some clarity on this or help me understand that, okay? But I hope this helps, and I hope this gives you an idea of what confirmation is all about and what takes place there, okay? Thank you all for hanging in.